Love Osho podcast brings you the real stories of the people whose lives have been inspired and transformed by Osho. We explore why thousands of people are falling in love with Osho and where to find them. Take a deep breath and enjoy the show.
Hello and welcome to the Love Osho podcast. My name is Swaram and I'm the host. Today our guest is Swami Satyam Pradeep. Pradeep started reading and loving Osho around 1980 and became a sannyasin in 1988 in Pune. Pradeep dropped out of high school in his junior year. He spent a year in the army till he was kicked out and worked for 17 years in the data processing field, 6 years in the septic tank field, and the last 17 years as a gas station mechanic. Today, Pradeep lives in Texas with his soul partner, Bonnie. Hi, Pradeep. Welcome to the Love Osho podcast. How are you?
Oh, I'm fine, Swaran. I'm so happy to hear from you and talk with you and talk about Osho with you. It's very important and invigorating to do a talk with you. And I hope we can have a good podcast together.
And absolutely. I'm sure it will be wonderful. And likewise, I'm so happy to have you on the show and have the opportunity to discuss with you how Osho influenced your life, Osho's impact in your life. Your story is very interesting for me personally because you did not spend many, many years in Osho's presence like many friends I've interviewed for this podcast. Nonetheless, Osho left a huge mark on you and changed your life dramatically. So I want to hear all about that and unpack your story with Osho, starting, of course, from the very beginning. So I'd love to hear how you came to know about Osho in the first place.
Okay, I was with my second wife living in Kalamazoo, a suburb of Kalamazoo, Michigan, in a little town of 200 people. And my older sister, she called my wife at the time, and she said, Dodie, that's my younger sister. I have two sisters, a young one and an older one, and a brother who's deceased now. But she told my wife at the time, and she was laughing about it. She was saying, oh, Dodie has found a guru that she is really off of the wall. And she says she's really crazy about him. And they were laughing. And my wife told me all about it. And I know my younger daughter. I know she's not, if she found somebody, it was a good possibility that person was not to be laughed at. So anyway, I didn't laugh at the time about it. I just waited until I saw my younger sister again, and she came over maybe a week later, and she told me, Ray, here's a book I want you to read. She gave me a book of Osho. She told me she gave me two, but I only remember one. I took that one book with me and I started reading it on my job and whenever I had a time to pause in my work at the time. And I could not believe what I was reading. It was just wow all the way from there about Osho. He was Bhagwan at the time, of course. And everything that I read of his, I thought to myself, boy, he's saying the same thing that I think. And I could not believe that he and I were agreeing. I was believing everything. I shouldn't have said belief, but I was just so surprised that when he talked, we were imitating his ideas. And I read many, many, many of his books, probably a couple of hundred before I ever went over to Pune too. I never did get involved with the ranch. I went over to Pune too back in April of 1988. It took me 5 years. I did not make very much money with the job I was doing at the time. And my wife, she kept fighting with me. She would, she did not want me to go over to talk or see, hear Osho, but see Osho. It took me 5 years to save enough money to get the airplane fare and enough to stay over in India for maybe 3 months. That's all I did, stay over there. That was in Pune too. And while I was over there, I went through a lot of, well, not a lot, but I at least three or four work groups, therapies, and no really intense therapies, but pretty light therapies or work groups, you might call them. And anyway, I love my time over there. I love, just as soon as I entered the gate, I knew I was at home. I just walked around Corrigan Park and I sit down on the benches and I just relax. And it was a new world for me, the beautiful plants and people. It was loving people. And I went through the gateless gate, and I listened to a couple of Bhagwan's discourses, and for 3 months, every day that he had one, I listened to the discourse. And when I first started listening to Bhagwan, I was waiting in line one day. And I think her Sannyasin Lani, she turned around and she was talking to a guy in front of me. And she says, "You've been here for a long, long time. When are you going to take sannyas?" And the guy says, "Well, I'm still undecided. I don't know when I'll take sannyas." And I just tapped her on the shoulder and said, "I'm ready to take it right now. Please just set me up for a meeting with Osho, a sannyas with Osho." And one or 2 days later, I was in the tent and I was taking sannyas. Osho was not giving sannyas at the time. Yogi was giving sannyas at a time. He placed the mala around my neck and He touched my third eye and he told me my new name, and which was Satcham, which means truth, and light, which means light. The true light is what I refer to myself as now, and hopefully that all comes about, truth and light together. Anyway, before I took sannyas, I met an Indian person outside the gateless gate, and we struck up a conversation, and I told him that they were telling me that I should wear something that is not indicative of myself, not similar to what the clothes that I usually wear. So he says, "Don't worry, I'll take you down MG Road." MG Road is a mall. It's a street, really, with a bunch of shops on it. And we went. He took me down MG Road to a shop that sold clothes. And he picked out I would call it a chic, Arab chic outfit. It was silky and looked like an Arab, like Lawrence of Arabia, but it was a gold outfit. And so I went back and the next day and took sannyas by Yogi. I guess Osho must have given him the name that I took. Anyway, I spent 3 months over in Pune too, and I did a lot of work groups that changed my mind. as far as change went, I was pretty much an alcoholic and a druggie. I was drinking a lot, and I was taking a lot of, well, not so many drugs, but in my lifetime, I've taken just about every kind of drug you want to take, grass, marijuana, LSD, you name it, I've taken it, hash and peyote and cocaine. Heroin, I kind of stopped at heroin. I never took any heroin, but most other drugs. And I went to alcohol meetings for a while when I was living in California in my lifetime. Anyway, I changed a lot. I changed to be a vegetarian. I do not eat any fish or beef or poultry at all. I haven't since 1988. That's when I left. That's when I left Pune. And I'm a lot less competitive now. And I create. I do a lot of meditations at home. You know, I do all the meditations that Osho taught. It's not a Brahma dynamic. Kundalini, Nataraj, whatever, every meditation that Osho created, I do now kind of regularly. Every day I do at least one, maybe two. I created a meditation tent just outside my back door, and it's about 8 feet tall and 12 feet around. And I've got a table and chair in there and a boom box and a fan and heater even. And it's just like a little house that I go into and do my meditations. Back to this morning, I did the laugh meditation, which is kind of like the mystic rose. That's what was Osho created while I was there, the mystic rose in April of 1988. And surprisingly, when I went in this morning, I it's not called a mystic rose, but it's called a laugh meditation. And I did the laugh this morning for about a half an hour. And at the end, Osho gives his talk, you freeze, and then he sits you down and he speaks a little bit. So anyway, these meditations I do also. I created a lot of meditations. I've got about 36 of Osho-led meditations that when he was doing the Zen discourses at the end, he would always give a meditation, and he led the meditation. And I've got a sound recorder on my computer, and I just forwarded the discourse until the last 10 or 15 minutes of while he did the meditations by and recorded all his Osho. I call them Osho led meditations. And if anybody wants to access these meditations, I can attach them to an email for anybody who is interested. And also I recorded a lot of Osho discourse music at the ending. I probably got maybe 30 or 40 of those, which I play quite often. I love just listening to Osho's meditations at the end, where you do the Yahoo at the end, and the band keeps playing, and we do Yahoo two or three more times at the end. So I do lots of meditations daily in my tent, and even when I can't do it in the tent, I do them right here in my bedroom that I'm talking to you on.
So I mean, there is so much that to unpack. First of all, I want to kind of commend you. It was quite remarkable to hear that you read Osho's book, you were really impressed, and then it took you 5 years to save the money to travel. So that's real commitment. and it's quite something. And then you managed to stay there 3 months, which is, of course, you know, quite an extended period of time. But compared to, you know, people who were there for years and years, it's still relatively short. But within 3 months, sounds like your life really changed quite a lot. You know, you mentioned dropping substances, you were, you know, drinking, taking drugs, and then all gone. You changed your diet. So, I mean, let's get a little bit more into that. So, you came across Osho. You had this incredible experience being in a Buddha field in the presence of an alive master. There was all these beautiful people around. And then you went back to your normal life, to the real world. You know, I'm sure you had to go back to work and earn your money. How did you manage to combine this inner thirst for spirituality with the reality of the world and work and the routine and the family? I mean, that must have been quite a challenge.
Well, the family actually ended right there. I became more like a bachelor because I lost my wife. While when I left on the plane for Pune, she was crying, and there was a couple of stepdaughters that I helped raise, and they didn't want me to go, but I couldn't help but go. I had to go. And anyway, while I was over there for those 3 months, I got I call it a dear Ray instead of dear John letter. And my wife told me she doesn't want to live with me anymore. So I kind of accepted that. I cried a little bit because, you know, I loved her, but she didn't want me anymore because I don't know why, and I don't have the answer to that. Anyway, I came back to the States, and I came back to Los Angeles. I lived in L.A. for 6 years and before I got married to my second wife. So I knew L.A. and surrounding areas. But anyway, when I got back, I had nowhere to go. So my home in Kalamazoo was gone. They sold that. And so I moved down to, they had a meditation house in Laguna Beach, California. So I moved down to Laguna Beach at that meditation house center and stayed with them for 2 or 3 months. We all did painting jobs and worked from the meditation house in Laguna Beach. Anyway, we were running out of work. So I bought an old car, an old Buick, that one of the sannyasins sold me for $200, which was pretty cheap for a car. But anyway, I drove that car to leave the meditation house. I think it just ended. The one who led the meditation, he was Viet Mano. He was a kind of elite sannyasin. He went over to Russia for a while. He was giving workshops over and meditations over in Russia. And anyway, I said goodbye to Viet Mano and the other sannyasins. And my older sister, the one who was laughing at Osho with my wife, and to El Paso. I moved to El Paso and I stayed with her a while and then started moving into my own places in El Paso and finding work in El Paso. That's when I started watching TV in El Paso, and I saw public access television, mostly religious programs on the public broadcast station. And I thought to myself, well, why not see if I can get to show Osho videos on public broadcast stations, broadcast station here in El Paso. So I went down and I talked to the people there and asked them if they would show videos of Osho. And they said yes, they would do that. And they told me they would take them and show them once a week for me. And the times I purchased or somehow I had about 40 videos of Osho, and I brought some down to the station, and they started showing one of his videos from 7 o'clock prime time Friday evening at 7 o'clock, and they showed those videos of Osho for about 6 years, and I would bring them six videos at a time, and they would show them for 6 weeks. And when that ended, I would go down and pick those up and replace them with six more. And anyway, I kept recycling these videos for 6 years. And then the station, they stopped a lot of videos, and they didn't show Osho anymore. But anyway, I didn't get very many people actually call me to say, hey, I've been watching Osho for a while. I did convert one person to becoming a sannyasin. His name was Moksha, and he kind of worked for the UTEP College, University of Texas at El Paso, and he was teaching there a little bit, and he showed some of Osho, and actually he became a sannyasin himself. There was another sannyasin living about 35 miles away in a little in Las Cruces, New Mexico. Her name, the sannyasin, the female sannyasin, was named Yatra, and Yatra, myself, and Moksha, we went down and we had a little ceremony, and we placed some mala around him and touched his forehead. And there was another sannyasin that was very interested in Osho from my broadcast, and he came and he asked me if I wanted to create a meditation center. And I told him, no, but I'd help him. And I gave him a whole bunch of books. I must have given him about 50 books or more, and some videos. I gave him all of the videos of Osho. And hopefully he was going to start a meditation center there. But he never did. But I don't know what he did with all of the equipment and books that I gave him, all the videos and books. But we just never started getting together very much. So,
okay, so basically, if I understand correctly, you managed to show Osho's video on TV, public TV in Texas. And, you know, I'm quite ignorant, but as far as I understand, Texas is a conservative part of the USA.
Osho calls Texas a backward state, and it is very backward.
Okay, so that's quite bold, you know, for you, and also to get this, whoever accepted, I don't know if they were aware of who was Osho, but somehow for 6 years, they did it. They broadcasted Osho's discourses on TV. It's quite remarkable. And you got some responses, some people, you created a little community, even though, you know, it didn't go like as big as many, you know, some other countries, but still, I think it's very significant what you did. And how is today Osho in Texas? Are there centers, sannyasins? How is the situation there?
Well, I think they've got houses in the community, meditation centers in Austin, Texas, and maybe down in Houston. They don't have very many people or many meditation centers here in Texas or New Mexico. You know, I'm right on the border. El Paso's right on the border of New Mexico and the country of Mexico. But I did notice there was kind of a change in, maybe I was imagining it, but it felt like the climate in El Paso did kind of mellow out. And I think a lot of people discovered Osho, even though they didn't become sannyasin, they a lot of people may have watched it anyway, and might have changed a few lives that I don't know about, hopefully. So
okay, that's amazing. That's amazing. And in terms of picturing, trying to imagine you totally in love with Osho, you traveled to India, you came back, you took action and you showed Osho on TV, but somehow, as far as I understand, you are kind of a little bit isolated there. You know, it's a bit of a barren land in terms of Osho and spirituality. It's a little bit backward. So how did you manage to keep yourself motivated? You mentioned you have like a meditation room, little house for you, and you meditate every day. Many years have passed and you're still meditating, you're still listening to Osho. I mean, that's amazing. It's very inspirational because you are a little bit on your own. So tell us a bit about your kind of motivation that keeps you going.
Well, I read a very lot of Osho books, and I watch a lot of Osho videos. Osho World, you can do everything on Osho. I can't understand. I've listened to a lot of your podcasts, and nobody ever mentions about Osho World. But boy, that's a treasure trove. You can get anything from Osho World for free. You know, Osho.com, you have to pay for it. But I downloaded probably 1,000 videos from Osho World. And right now, I don't have to download them anymore. You can go on Osho World right now and play. And they've got the source. You can play every one of the discourses he ever did. And I listen to those discourses even when I fall asleep. You know, I put one on and just fall asleep listening to Osho. That's how I keep in love with Osho. I never did go to the ranch, as I said. But I did spend a little time in Sedona, Arizona. That's where Avar Baba and Lonnie stay. And Avar Baba, she's the one that would scream over in Pune too, whenever Osho would come up and get close to her and he'd kind of shake his hands at her. And she let out a scream that would go from the front of the where his chair is all the way to the back of the tent, the long tent in Pune. And you could hear her all the way in the back row if you were back there. But he would do that to her quite often, and everybody would laugh at her. But she was in love with Osho. And anyway, she's those are the only kind of elite sannyasins that I ever met. A lot of my books that I read after I'd used them and read them, I sent them off to the prisons around the country here. They had that program, prisons for Osho, books from Osho to prison. And I sent a lot of those off to prisons for the prisoners to read his books. And lots of times when I finish reading, lots of times when I meet a person that I feel like would be interested in Osho, I give them one of my books also that I've read. I probably reordered the same books many a time because I just ran out of books to read. And right now I'm getting a lot of books from Tapoban in India, Nepal, I guess that's where they at with Arun. And they're creating new books by Osho. And I've been ordering a lot of those lately, and I'll continue reading them. And even today, I get a lot of information and knowledge and something, discover new thoughts. Well, not necessarily thoughts, new sayings from Osho. And I try to practice what he teaches, the no mind and the no thoughts and the all and the ah, this, and that how we're all connected. And actually, if I was just thinking today that if you took the this and you took the all and you create a prefix to put before your name and you could name it all this, everybody is actually all this. So if you put it that, you know, don't separate it, just become all this Pradeep or all this Waram. And that's what we are. We're all connected together. Osho to me is still here, and we should try not to bring Osho into the past tense. I mean, never talk the word of Osho as being dead. You know, he's still alive, and speak to him about him in the present terms. Even he himself, you know, no, never born, never died. He's not dead. His spirit's here, and or whatever form he's in, I don't know. But I try, and he's taught me he taught me not to use the word I. I'm doing it now because it's utilitarian, as he says, and that's the only way I can convey my thoughts, myself to people, and try not to use the word I or my.
I'm quite impressed to hear and to feel how much you are connected with Osho, thinking of you a bit isolated there in a backward country. But thanks to internet, you can connect with Osho World and listen to the podcast and you know, and then you listen to, of course, Osho's discourses, you meditate, and that's how you keep going. And it sounds that, you know, you're really fresh and you see Osho in the present term. I mean, it's pretty impressive. It's very inspirational, because sometimes I feel like the big commune and the big sangha of Osho is no more like it used to be. It's very scattered. Of course, there are many pockets and there are many activities, even online. There are lots of events happening. So, you know, it's definitely alive. But clearly, after Osho left the body, things got very, it's a little bit dispersed and confused at times. But then, you know, there you go. You are there in Texas, and you're really keeping it going for yourself in a beautiful, beautiful way. And I'm really impressed and inspired.
Sadak, I go to ask Bhagwan. And remember, Sadak, you interviewed him. And I do a couple of his meditations at 8:30 in the evening, and kind of, hopefully it's going out at the, they're going out at the same time by a lot of sannyasins. Those are other meditations that keep me in touch with Osho and other sannyasins. Sadak is doing a very great job by his podcasts and your podcast by creating that the meditation site where he does some meditations. Anyway, I do a lot of breathing meditations and breath. When I was over to in Pune too, a lot of help with sannyasins made me cry and get angry and bring a lot out of myself that I wouldn't have done if I wasn't around sannyasin. They would lay me down and they would touch, prop up my head or my feet and touch me on the head. And I was really surprised at how what came out of me. I mean, I cried like a baby and I got a catharsis out of myself. I just like snot running out of my nose, you know, it's just crying like a baby. And when I'd get anger, once in Yasin, he came over to my place and I rented an apartment in Pune. I stayed at the Woodlands Hotel there, the same hotel that Osho stayed at in Bombay. Anyway, I think I'm probably getting a little bit off course here, but I just wanted to bring that about how all of the sannyasins in Pune helped me.
That's wonderful. Well, thank you so much. And yes, Sadak, I interviewed Sadak, and he's working on this beautiful app. It's an amazing project to make Osho available for free discourses and so much content and material related to Osho on the app Ask Bhagwan, which is very beautiful. So, my friend, we are kind of heading towards the end. I have three final questions. Before that, is there anything I didn't ask that you want to share?
No, just the Wild Wild Country, the video that Netflix showed. I really enjoyed that. And I'm just glad that I wasn't around Sheila at the time, because I would probably be one on her assassination list. she's part of Osho, and it's okay. I forgive her. So, well, not necessarily I forgive her, but Osho's forgiven her. So forgiveness is one of Osho's qualities, and hopefully it'll become our own.
Okay, wonderful. Thank you for that. So I have three final questions. The first one is, in your view, what is Osho's greatest contribution to the world?
The allness. We're all connected. It's not going to happen soon, but I mean, it's eventually going to happen where Osho vision is going to be the only religiousness that helps, that it's going to become one eventually. It might take 200 years, I don't know, but he's changed. That's what Osho is, change.
Okay, well, yeah, let's hope that at least some, let's say even just 10% of Osho's vision, if it will be absorbed globally, it will be a better world for sure. Okay, so the second question is, what is the most beautiful gift you personally received from Osho?
Just love, the mystic rose. The gift from Osho is change from more acceptance, less competitive, and music that the sannyasin music and his music and his talk of music. I tried to be, well, I tried playing the violin, and I played it for at least 40 years, and I've never gotten very good at it, but I keep pegging away at it. And Osho loves music, and I love Osho's music, all the sannyasins that he had playing music and dancing, you know, in the Pune too. We'd all go down after the discourse and dance together and celebrate. Celebration is probably the word that I would subscribe I got celebration from Osho, more celebration.
Okay, so the last question is, you've been associated with Osho for quite a long time. What does it mean to you personally to be with Osho today?
Hope. Well, no, he doesn't, you know, he doesn't want you to hope. He's all against desires and hopes and wishes. If anything, today he's made me forget about those things. Acceptance is what I feel today from Osho, and awareness and less knowledge, but truth. True. I mean, I think he named me pretty well with truth and light. We're all enlightened. I mean, it's just not me. It could be named light. Every one of his sannyasin is enlightened, and they just, well, hopefully he's told them many times how they all are enlightened, and they just don't realize it. So,
okay, so Pradeep, we reached the end of this very enjoyable chat. I really thank you so much for reaching out to us at Love Osho and sharing your story. I think it's, as I said, very unique, your experience with Osho, which was brief in terms of being physically there, but at the same time, completely deep and transformative. And up to today, after 30 years, you are so kind of in love with Osho and you keep it so fresh and the flame is so burning high, flying high. And yeah, I just want to commend you and get, I'm so inspired by listening to your story, even though you're a little bit isolated in terms of physical location and geography. And, you know, there's not much Osho going on in Texas, and perhaps the mentality of the average mentality there in Texas is not that open-minded. But at the same time, you manage to, you know, just focus on yourself, keeping connected with Osho and with the sannyasins and the community through the podcast, through internet, through the video, listening to Osho, meditating. And yeah, and you just keep transforming and aiming for being in the here and now. So yeah, thank you so much. It's very inspirational, and I loved chatting with you.
Well, I love chatting with you too, Swaram, and Chetnut also. You're beautiful people, and let's transform the world.
Absolutely. We do what we can. We do our best, and we transform ourselves, and for sure that will have a ripple effect. Thank you so much. Big hug and lots of love.
Love back to you, Swaram. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it and leave a review. Visit loveosho.com for more episodes, blogs, or to connect with us.